This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West War football podcast. MWR.com is where, you know, all of our stuff is at to find everything we discuss. Hang out here with Josh, where we had a week 10, where now there are some interesting games, interesting losses, interesting wins. One big loss that doesn't impact the conference race at all. But how are you feeling, first of all? I ask this all the time because your team, unfortunately, did not was not victorious this weekend.
I mean, I'm fine. I think what the issue is that, like, we CSU fans know this team can be good. They just get in their own way sometimes. So
that's what it seems like. 24-15, they fell to Wyoming, the rival Wyoming. The bronze boot stays in Laramie this year. And we talked about this moments ago. We'll talk about it throughout the game, but it was like, this is a game. Well, first off, I think it was never out of reach, but it seemed like it was out of reach.
I mean, yeah, like the Rams had chances.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Nicolosi, you know, he's a freshman. He makes freshman mistakes. He should have taken the sack instead of trying to throw at Holker. His other one was to Holker too. He stared him down the whole way. So I mean, they're just freshman mistakes. I'm not actually sure what to say. I mean, there are some decision makings that are questionable, play calling wise, personnel wise, but it's frustrating because we can see the potential for how good this team can be, and I do get frustration from some of the fans, but it's you don't ever post the athletic director's phone number on a public board.
Oh,
just don't do that. He gave out his phone number to donors so they, you know, they could have a conversation. He's always said his door's open. You know, you can email him. You can ask for a meeting. Like he publicly said, you can ask for a meeting with him. You don't have a problem doing that. But just posting his phone number on a public board, like we have the Ram Nation board has two separate boards. It has the public Ramblings board, and then it has the Ram Club board, mm-hmm. which is, you know, for donors. So it was like, if you're going to do that, do it on that board.
Yeah, don't. I get upset and everything, but like, no, what are you doing? That's just immature and stupid.
Yeah. And then they're already calling for Norvell to be fired too, which is like, no.
No, don't fire him. Here's big concern about this game. 0 for 10 on third down. Not great, clearly. I did like their aggressiveness going for it on fourth down a couple of times to get 2 or 3. They are more disciplined than Wyoming. 10 penalties is a lot for Wyoming, only 3 for the Rams. Yeah, you're -2. That hurts. But also, we mentioned before the show and even during our preview last week that we haven't really seen Wyoming. Like, Wyoming's defense is good, but they haven't been doing anything. Their front seven or defensive line hasn't been doing much. It was Easton Gibbs. Gibbs is good. You mentioned a sack and the sack in TFL he had.
And the interception.
Yeah. And a pick two. Yeah, he had a huge game. But there seemed a lot of, like, I probably should pull up, not CFB stats, but like stat broadcast, how many pass deflections they had. Because Nicolosi seemed to be, he's only 24-42. He didn't have a great game, and it seemed like he was kind of under distress a lot.
And, according to ESPN, Wyoming had 5.
Okay, that makes sense. That checks out for when I was watching, because I watched it kind of quickly early Saturday morning going through the game. But yeah, that did make sense, where it seemed every play you watch, it's like a tip pass, he's getting under pressure. And that's an offensive line thing. That's a maybe play calling thing. That's happened a lot. Maybe they need to do a – but it's hard to do play action, Josh, when Avery Morrow or Shield or whoever else, Van Shield's running the ball, not running well. So what's the point of play action if you guys aren't running all that well?
They need to give it to Shield more because, you know, he can actually run. Like, he's not afraid of contact. Like, we don't really have a speed back at the moment. Like, that was supposed to be Kobe Johnson, but he's out for the year with a back injury.
Yeah.
So it was like – Avery Morrow's not doing much. I think his knee injury is still bothering him. So give it to – I don't care if he's a walk-on. He's been the best running back on the field for this whole season. I don't know. I mean, there were a couple other decisions on the defensive side, like not leaving a spy on Andrew Peasley, not keeping contained. Like, I'm not saying Wyoming did bad. They took advantage of what CSU gave them, you know, especially, and it was good to see Gunnar Gentry get on the board at you after 2 straight years of injuries. So, I mean, and then Harrison Whaley had another great game, you know, 29 carries, 128 yards. But it seemed like CSU lost that game more than Wyoming did. It's just Wyoming was able to take advantage, except for the one time, of CSU's turnovers.
Yeah, because like I said, the game – never, like, they only lost by only 9-point game. You know what I mean? It wasn't anything that was like it wasn't anything great. Where it wasn't a blowout. It wasn't any just beat the crap out of them. They just couldn't move the ball when needed. You can't run the ball very well, and it's weird too. If we look at, so you mentioned talent, CSU has arguably best receiver, best tight end, best defender of the conference, and they're 3-6.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are they not better than that? And I know Kamara only had 3 tackles. He wasn't he wasn't explosive, but even without him, they had 7 TFLs and 3 sacks. They were getting after Peasley. And Peasley had a completion wise, did fine. Yardage is whatever. But it's not, it's just an odd spot. Like, don't get, no, Norville's fine. There's no issue to say get rid of him. I get it's a rival, so there's more passion to it. But the team, like, it's hard to say, oh, we're not far off, but this is year 2 of a coach, right? Steve Adagio before, who was garbage and couldn't do anything. This is a team where they already beat Boise State for the first time ever. That's good. I know you lose to UNLV. That's tough when you hold all the field goals. You weren't very close versus Air Force. This game, you lose to a rival. There's a, like, better than, I should look at FPI, but there's a very likelihood they could still go bowling. I wouldn't put out the question. San Diego State, Nevada, and Hawaii. Those are all 3 games they could win.
The CSU is a 4-point favorite over San Diego State.
Aztecs are bad, and that's, San Diego State's not very good. And so, I think it was overheated for why fans were acting the way they were because of who they lost to.
I think we have. Out of the last 20 rivalry matchups, we have 1 win.
Well, Bobo could have won them either. Remember that?
Yeah.
Bowl games, rivalries, he was terrible.
It was Adazio in the COVID year. It was like, all right, cool. Like, you're a shithead otherwise. But it was like, I get we want to win rivalry games, but we also have to take a look at, you know, where this team is and where they're going. Because we like, if you sit down and watch the games and compare it to the past 5 years, because that's the time frame from the last time CSU went to a bowl, this is a completely better team than any other time. They're just making stupid mistakes. Or I shouldn't say stupid, I should say freshman mistakes, because it wasn't just Fowler Nicolosi. TJ Crandall, he's been immense as part of the defensive back rotation, got caught ball watching, and the touchdown to Ayer Asante was because he was ball watching in the backfield. That's just, you know, something to learn, something to take away from. Like, I get it. We all want, you know, quick starts and finish strong and beat rivals, but sometimes you have to look at what is on the field and not just look at the record.
Yeah. So I'm looking at FPI. I want your gut reaction to this. Like, give me a quick answer, or we can discuss more, but there's three games left. So the percentage to win out and get to six wins is exactly the same because there's three games left. Yeah. It's 19.7%.
I mean, I get it.
That seems low, right? For who they're playing? It does
seem low. I think it is weird because CSU is ahead of all three teams left. But it's going to be funny, like, because there's potential for Wyoming to get to 6-6 too, because they struggle on the road.
Yeah.
But I get it, but at the same time, because it's like, advanced statistics still never make sense to me because I don't know math. But
well, it's also, it's a multiplier. So winning three in a row is harder than winning one, obviously.
Yeah.
But they're also, I got to pull something else up here. But they play host Nevada. Win. They go to Hawaii. Okay, going to Hawaii is not easy, but Hawaii is not that good. So when you look, I guarantee I'm going to pull up individual game FP. I guarantee CSU's favored in all of these.
Oh, they are. I already pulled them.
Okay, so
excuse me, ESPN's. Yeah. I don't know if that's FPI.
Whatever ESPN analytics is, I'm not sure if it's FPI or not. But 70% versus Nevada, which is a couple weeks. 50. Hawaii is favored to beat them for some reason. That's where it comes into, I'm guessing.
Oh.
55 for Hawaii, and then CSU's 58 to beat San Diego State. So they're giving Hawaii a lot of credit for that travel. So I guess that's where that low number comes in, but I would have figured it'd be at least like 35 to 40%.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of good things. Tell me if I'm correct on this. If they had somewhat of a running game, they would probably be like two more wins.
I could definitely see Utah State going the other way. If they had a semblance of a running game, I could have seen it being 6-3.
Yeah, it's like UNLV, they kicked all the field, they held all the field goals. Defense did their job for the most part. And so yeah, if they had a little bit of running game, it's kind of frustrating. All right, next game. Nobody expected this one. Army Air Force. Army is terrible. They cover the spread, and I bet for them to cover, but they went outright 23-3. Air Force, so, this is ridiculously bad.
I went to get lunch on Saturday because I was like, I didn't turn the it started while I was out.
Yeah, 12:30.
And I look at my phone on the way back, and I'm like, it's 10-0. It's 10 minutes into the first quarter, so I'm like, I put in our group chat, is like, Air Force, you awake yet?
I know.
And then I get home and it's 17-0.
You're like, no, not like, yet.
Yeah, what's going on? And then it was like they turn the ball over six times.
Yeah.
I at this point, is Larry your senior, do you know?
Let me check real quick. Hold on. Let me see where he's at. But they were like their defense, like they could not do anything. Their defense typically is like, all right, they got things going, but Army's main running back, what's his name here? Bryson Daly, excuse me, quarterback, whatever. In this game, I'd call him running back, going 170 yards on 36 carries. He is, Zach Lear is, let's see if they haven't done it properly. He is a senior.
To be fair, I looked at Jensen Jones just to cover my bases. He is also a senior.
Oh boy.
But with his knee injury, is like, I think you have to go with Jensen Jones.
Yeah, two picks. He had three fumbles on his own, lost two of them. Yeah. It's hard to plant. Like, when you do that run and pitch, like, you have to use your off one of your either knee, whichever one it is, to plant to fake and juke toss or keep or fake toss or whatever you want to do. That could take a toll. And if it's the injury we've been told, like he's wearing a giant knee brace, he's not completely healthy. But it's not, it's, I don't blame him as all. The defense was terrible. They could not stop the running game at all.
So here's a funny thing, just looking at team stats.
Yeah.
I mean, Air Force had 19 first downs, 5 of 14 on third down. They were held to 259 yards. They had more yards than Army did.
This is a weird game. And look at the penalties, too. 120 penalties. Yeah. Yards per play was just the quarterback. They weren't very good on third down either. Army wasn't. But Army did it when it counted. And that first quarter, look at the second half, 0-0. Air Force defense figured it out, but in the first quarter is where they got torched and beat. And they made their adjustments, but it just too little too late. Like, it was not a good first half defensive performance, specifically first quarter, where it's they scored off the Air Force is aggressive, turns over, field goal. That's all. That counts as a turnover as well, so give them 7. Your turnover on downs leads to a field goal. Fumble leads to a touchdown. Fumble leads to a field goal. They go for it again on downs. They punt. They couldn't, when it mattered, when they needed to make a stop or make a play, they were not getting the ball. Like, interception led to a field goal. Like, it was a brutal game. They did not play well at all. Like, every chance they had, they kept getting rid of the ball either. And I count downs, the turnovers. That's like 8 turnovers if you think about it.
Yeah.
For how many times they did it. In the second half, every possession was a punt, field goal, or missed field goal. They just, I don't know what it was. They were just off their game. And it was just, Army's terrible.
What makes it kind of funny to me is Air Force was able to hold on to the ball in a blizzard.
Yeah.
But on a beautiful, sunny, clear sky, 60-degree day, they turned it over 6 times.
Man, that's I don't know, man. This maybe, I don't know, Zach Lear, he should be playing. Like, you think he should be done, right? Keep Jensen in there?
I think they have to put Jensen in. If they want to keep going and have a shot at the G5 bid, they have to put him in, because I don't think Larrier is the best option at the moment.
They're not getting that bid the way they play. No way. Fresno State has a better chance now.
That's true, but
just because.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Player-wise, not necessarily skill-wise. Without him, yeah, that's just a brutal game. All right, what do we got next year? We have Hawaii and Nevada. Is that where we're going? 27-14 Warriors?
Yeah, 6 sacks by the Warriors, by the way.
I was close to calling for a blowout in this game. Davis getting close to 17-0 before the halftime. Second quarter is where it like just went nuts. Did you see the passing line for Nevada?
6 of 23
for 2 quarterbacks.
Yeah,
like Brandon. Comparing that to Brandon Traeger, and he was actually good with no picks for once. But Bianco, we know he can run a little bit, but like we know Sean Dollars is sort of a player running the ball. But this, they have legit no quarterback and no offensive line for not just 6 sacks, Josh, 10 TFLs. Bianco and Lewis were harassed all day. They couldn't move the ball. Hawaii moved the ball well enough. They only scored in the third quarter when it got – even then when they scored 14 points, like, okay, this might be interesting. But it never, to me, seemed that was going to be the case. When they were down, like, 17-7, okay, here's the killer. They get the interception and go down 24-7 to switch the field. So it's like they – Nevada's terrible. Is Ken Wilson going to be a coach next year? Can they afford to get a new coach next year?
It depends. I don't know. We'd have to ask Brandon what the buyout is.
I know it lowers December 1, but it's not much. And they kind of overpaid to get a guy because we know they have no – the weird thing is they have that Nevada City thing being built for Reno City or something, the sports complex.
Isn't that just basketball?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's basketball side. Because they got Steve Alford, paid up, gave him a good contract. It's like, I don't know what the deal is, man. They just have no quarterback. And I know quarterback's not everything, but this has been an issue since last year. Like, who would have thought the Colorado transfer or AJ Bianco would be the guy to come in to lead you?
Their best play on the day was AJ Bianco scrambling.
Yeah.
They used their most consistent play, funny enough.
Yeah, and then Ken Wilson calls the team like they're not physical. It's like, we're not the most physical team. Well, no crap, your offensive line got beat to shreds.
They had 5 pass deflections, though.
Okay, good for them. Like, it was brutal, man. They had turnover battle, obviously. They scored points off turnovers, Hawaii did. Like, the offense was ineffective. This is the worst offensive performance by a team in a long time. It's just brutal.
Well, do we not want to – is this below the 6-0 game?
No. Hey, they won that game. You won that game. Like, if not for Sean Dollars, this offense is just – and Devon – like, De'Levon Campbell, okay. But you're right, scrambling was the big play. Like, you look at Hawaii, Shager moved the ball reasonably well. Running game was fine with Sims, but Shager had to chip in there. And where the heck did Pofele Ashlock come from? 2 touchdowns in this game? Pretty impressive. But you're playing Nevada, so you should step up, right?
I mean, he's been there a while. Yeah. Huh? Just game log.
I'm just saying 2 touchdowns. Hawaii's not moving the ball very well. They got crushed by San Jose State, so maybe I could be a slightly mistaken there. But he only has 2 touchdowns on the year.
Oh, Ashlock? No, he doesn't. He has 5.
Oh, wait. What am I looking at here? I was fooled by a different page. Okay. It still was his best game in a while, so I'm not going to take that away from 9 receptions. But Hawaii overall, like, they're okay. But this is Nevada, what do they expect for their program? Like, what's their expectation? They can't roll through a coach. Ken Wilson's not going to get fired this year. It's year 2. He's going to make it through next year. They can't roll through guys every 3 years and expect to find a good program or good keep the program from growing or have any sort of success.
Well, to be fair, this is their first time doing that in a while. They went from
Norvell.
They had Jay Norvell. Who was before Norvell? It wasn't Alt, was it?
I'm checking real quick. I was going to say that too, but they've been. Well, they remember the FCS champs forever. They were not champs, but extremely well for FCS. Remember the top 10 team was Colin Kaepernick. But the coaching-wise, I'm trying to remember, too. Brian Polian, the guy from Texas A&M.
Oh.
He took him to a couple bowl games, and they kind of faded away. And Norvell left because, obviously, resources. Money. Not even money, but resources, too. It's like, if you can't get a indoor practice facility and you have to go to Stanford or Northern California to travel and wildfires come out, you're in trouble. That's not good.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's going to stick around, but 4 wins in 2 years. Guys, it's easier to transfer. It's hard. Who are you going to get to come in, really? It's hard. Guys are going to leave who are any worth much of anything, because why stick around if you have that option to do so?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough, man. All right, let's go to some other games. Let's go to positive. Well, I guess if you're a Rebel fan, Josh, 56-14. Apologies to Roger, the Mexico on the short end of the stick here. UNLV really, really wants to win the conference. They are 56-14. Also, I saw a guy on Twitter. They're like, technically, Maeve is not listed as a starter. I'm like, fine, I didn't check. But for the past month, Brumfield's listed as or with him, so I don't care. But this is a crazy game. Maeve was extremely efficient, only 4 incompletions. Ricky White he's turning into potentially him and Torrey Horton, one of the best shooters in the conference. It could be a first-team player.
I think we knew that from the beginning.
Well, we do, but the first month he wasn't his typical self for the most part, as good as he could be. And this was a huge game here. 2 touchdowns, 165. He's been good, but not maybe elite, because it takes a minute when you switch quarterbacks to get going. Like, he's been fine. He had, like, his first month outside of the Vanderbilt game, which was huge, 12 catches. He had 6 catches besides that in the first month, or I guess first 4 games. So he wasn't great, but he's slowly been bringing on the past 4 games. He has 6 touchdowns, all 6 of his touchdowns. He's been going, doing quite well. He's on check for CSU, but 3 of the past 4 games, 150-plus yards. So that's what I meant. Like, we keep saying he's finally doing something against Fresno, against Nevada, those type of teams. But this offense was efficient. The defense got after New Mexico. They only got, what they have only, or so only had three TFLs. But New Mexico, man, they just can't move the ball down the field.
Well, I mean, they kind of did. They had 360 yards, which, I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but for New Mexico, it was. I think it seems like they just couldn't finish. Because, I mean, New Mexico or UNLV didn't do that much better. They just finished.
Well, and they're plus 2. That helps as well.
I mean, New Mexico had the ball for 37 minutes.
That is crazy. And they gave up 56 points by holding the ball. Like, yeah. UNLV is quick striking. It's quick striking. It is interesting. The amount of yardage, yeah, typically for what New Mexico does, that's great for them. But it's also, they turnover on downs led to a touchdown. Fumble led to a touchdown. Missed field goal led to a touchdown. They had all these bad things, and then, yeah, they have another fumble, I thought they had 2. It says 1 here, but I thought they had 2. But every bad thing that happened to them went good for you, UNLV the other way. But, I mentioned, those things, fumble, yeah, not great, but New Mexico's improving, but UNLV is just out to show, hey, we're a good football team. And if you're a good football team, you beat the crap out of bad teams. And that's what they did with Maeva. Vincent Davis had an okay game, 2 touchdowns, Jet Thomas. They ran the ball, like, they were just okay, but super efficient doing it.
Yeah.
So, Lobos, they're going to be okay, but they keep bringing in Devin. They have Dylan Hopkins. Not quite. He's not playing bad. But he's not getting points or moving the ball well enough, if that makes sense. They just have a hard time scoring. And that's what you got to do to win football games and score points, right?
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. But so UNLV, are they – I'm going to pull this up. We haven't talked about this in a while. Are they – their only loss was to Fresno, correct?
Conference loss.
Conference loss. Correct. Sorry. Michigan, asterisk, but they still – whatever.
Hey, Connor Stallions was at the game.
Hey, I put on Twitter, you got to laugh sometimes. You got to laugh instead of cry sometimes with that type of game performance. That was good. I like how they can kind of poke fun of themselves. It's all, that's why we're not playing well. So UNLV is given only 9% chance to win the conference. You have Air Force, who's still undefeated in league play, clearly in the driver's seat. Fresno at 33%. And then you have UNLV at 9%. So Rebels are a third team right there. And they're sitting at one league loss. Air Force is undefeated. Fresno State, 1 league loss.
Fresno has the tiebreaker
over UNLV. So UNLV doesn't play Air Force, right?
Yeah, they do.
Interesting. I didn't see that. So
it's at Air Force too.
Hold on, I'm pulling the schedule now. I gotta check this out.
Give me a moment. They get Wyoming at home next week.
Oh, the Friday night game. That's right.
Yeah, they go to Air Force and then they finish out home against San Jose State.
Those are tough games. Those aren't easy.
Yeah, I mean the difficulty of San Jose State has definitely gone up in the past couple of weeks. So
yeah.
It's not a clear road, especially because the wins that UNLV has came against not good teams. Like, I'm counting CSU and realistically they probably should have lost that CSU game.
Oh, definitely there's some opportunities for that, yeah.
Yeah.
So. And Vanderbilt. They came from behind to beat Vanderbilt too.
Yeah.
So yeah, their strength of schedule is not great who they played, so it picks up here and it has. I think they have to win out to make the conference championship game. Definitely have to beat Air Force. Have to. So then they'd or tiebreaker over the Falcons.
Well, does Air Force play Fresno State?
Let me check real quick. This is schedule watching time here, folks. Let's find out. With all the divisionals football, plus they'd have been West Mountain before. Let's see, Air Force. I know they play Boise State. They play UNLV. They play Hawaii, so they don't.
So that I think is. Do you, we'd have to look it up.
Yeah, if it's a three-way tie, it'd be.
Is it next common opponent?
I think the next highest rated opponent. Okay. I don't recall. Would this be a division, besides doing it 2020, we'd have to look and see. But yeah, if it's a three-way tie, head-to-head doesn't matter as much, obviously. Then they go to the next one. I'm guessing would be, because it used to be a division opponent. I'm betting what it would be without looking. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, whatever, look up later. I'm betting its record against common opponents, or I think that would be first, or it could be the record against the next highest state team in standings. So say fourth is Wyoming. What's record versus Wyoming? Or what's record?
To ESPN, it's Boise.
Oh, well, I'm just saying, I'm just not knocking teams. But whoever's next up, that's the team. But I'm betting its record against what would make sense, a record against common opponents. So we'll get into this later, but I think the race is going to be interesting down the road. It's going to be something to look out for. All right, what's our next game here? What do we got?
Utah State, San Diego State.
Double overtime victory for the Aggies. Good for them.
I will say, if it wasn't for the overtime, the under hit anyway, but the under would have hit a lot more if it didn't go to overtime.
How was this over? What was it? 59 and a half?
57 and a half.
Why? We talked about this before, and I still don't know why.
Well, the amazing thing to me is San Jose State had 263 passing yards. When's the last time they had over 200?
I don't know. It's been a minute.
They had 5 sacks, 12 and a half tackles for loss. They lost the turnover battle.
It's always turnovers, man.
It was about equal on third downs. I mean, the game was relatively equal from both sides.
It was. And Utah State decided to take my concept and take Cooper Legault and Mikael Hillstead to play. They both blitz on time.
Well, Hillstead got injured.
Oh, crap. I forgot again. Let me have some credit. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I missed that. But they weren't sure who was starting. But, okay, let me go back to my point. Yes, I blew that. Apologies on that part. I forgot that he got left to get injured. So here's the thing. Was there a big difference between the two quarterbacks all that much? A little bit in this game, but like Hillstead didn't have the yardage when he was playing. I still contend their completion percentage about the same. Yeah, Legault looked better afterwards, scoring touchdowns, but I wonder if that could have been the same. But
well, I mean, just based on looking at the average, Legault was better.
Oh no, he was 2 touchdowns as well.
But it's about a 7-yard difference between the two, so get the offense a little bit more down the field.
I think he does anyways. I still think like whoever plays, it's going to be not this game, not necessarily the case. They were completely passes. That's about the only thing that was similar. But you have a new guy, a guy come in who they both played, a couple touchdowns, running game did fine. Just Aztecs, oh boy, Maiden, you mentioned that. Like how does it again? They lost 6-0 to Nevada. What changed to allow them to score some points this week from like a few weeks ago?
Utah State doesn't have a good defense.
But Nevada does?
Better than their offense.
Well, that's not, dude, that bar is so low.
I know.
No, but like this game, the way this game goes out, okay, you have it go double overtime, which again, it still hits center, which is hilarious. You have teams missing field goals, turnover on downs. We did have the big special teams touchdown as well in this game. But it's this game. Does everybody
know the right game?
What am I looking at? What's going on here? Maybe I'm messing up here. I don't know.
You're thinking of the next game.
I don't. What am I looking at? That you're correct. I'm trying to get ahead of myself. I apologize. I don't know what's going on with me for this game here. This game, it's 2 teams that are just okay.
I think this game perfectly encapsulated the Mountain West. Because it's like, it's 2 bad teams, and they somehow put on
a decent game. Yeah, a decent game. Overtime, they get 22 points. They get to go for the win. It's like, yeah, why not? What are we doing? What are we doing? Nonsense. Let's just get a victory and get out of here. Who's actually – is Utah State going to make a bowl game?
Let's look.
I want to say just know off the top of my head, but I'll probably put them in my bowl projections on Monday or Tuesday.
Well, next 2 of the 3 are Nevada and New Mexico, so maybe.
Blake Anderson, congratulations, going to the Arizona Bowl. Real quick, Aztecs, we're getting, is it because who they play, do you think? That they actually showed signs of offensive life?
Maybe they're just finally getting the offense.
I don't know. I know with Utah State, they have Ike Larson. That's about it in the secondary. Overall, it's like, it's okay. Not even if that, and like MJ Tafasi, like the two big guys they have on the team. Like Logan Peely had a huge game with a couple TFLs. I bet it's a little bit bold. I don't know, because it's like, I guess with Mate, if you think about it, if you look at what he's done all year, this isn't the first game he's had where he's been really good. Because he had another game. Did he throw for 300 one game this year? Not 300. He had the Oregon State game 256, 241 versus Boise, 265. Over 200 yards is a success for Aztec quarterback.
Yeah, and he's done that four times this year.
Yeah.
But three of those were losses.
Yeah. And the Nevada game was 2 weeks ago, so it's kind of figuring out. But I figured after beating Hawaii, they would have had a bit more. But there's improvement here, but it's like, they're not consistent. That's a problem. Like, falling to Nevada like that? No way. Hang with Utah State? Utah State's okay team. I'll just say they're okay. Because they've had mess at quarterback injuries all year long. The running game has been up or down with Devon Booth and then Robert Briggs. So we'll see. Final game weekend. Boise State tried to do it. They couldn't get it done. Fresno State 37, Boise 30. The special team touchdown's kind of a killer, right?
I mean, based on that was the deciding difference. Yes. That, you can't have that before half. You just can't.
It's like they give the kick that they wanted to do, and then you're letting a guy who moves the ball down like the way he's been playing throughout the game. It's like, why kick him? Why are you kicking him the ball? I get it. And you're first of smart, like, well, I'm not going to be the linebacker or tight end to pick it up at the 40, 35. Let's let my main man do it, man. What's going on here? There's no reason to do that. The way Sherrod played, like, he was all over the field. Like, he was literally by far the best player in this game. Two touchdowns overall, 100-something plus rushing, two huge 50-plus yard plays, a 50-yard run, and he was a 90-something yard return for touchdown.
He was 95.
95, hit a couple catches, too. Boise could stop him, man. Can we just stop with this quarterback change nonsense for Boise State?
They did.
Took him long enough.
Well, and they I wonder if they were listening, because they did what I said. I was like, you throw Mattson in there, let Talen come in, be that gadget quarterback. He could have been in on more, but according to the box score, he only had five plays. It was 1 for 2 passing. He had 3 rushes for 6 yards. I mean, that's really all you need. I'm going to compare him to CSU because it's true. Because I mean, Mattson's a freshman; he's got to make freshman mistakes,
and he did. Their stuff overthrown.
Yeah, but he also had a big run to get them back in it. He had that 27-yard touchdown run. He's not the same runner that Talen is, but he's an effective enough runner that the teams have to respect it, and it's going to open up passing lanes for him.
Yeah, he's clearly if he's not they need to keep it this way. It's like it took him long to figure it out, and it kind of worked. 200 he was throwing as well as Mickey Keene just about. Like there wasn't too much of a difference in there. Keene was a little more downfield stuff in the yards per catch, but this game, like George Lonnie did well. Obviously, with Ashton Gentry, which I mentioned, did not play. It was announced before the game. He did not even travel to this game, so it's probably more of a serious injury if you don't travel. Because if you travel and don't play, it's like, okay, but within that type of injury, that's probably going to be out next week too.
Yeah, I think it's a numbers thing, because if I remember the Mountain West rules correctly,
you
can only bring like 70 players or something like that.
Okay, so maybe it could be that too. Usually when you hear that, not traveling, that's a major injury, so I appreciate that. I wasn't aware, I don't remember that rule. But in this game, I thought Fresno was going to just blow them out, you know what I mean? Like they're up 20-10 at halftime, especially with that. And they kind of did. I won't say they did. They were outscored. But if not for the touchdown return, there wasn't much that could be done, right? That I guess they needed that play drastically to win? Maybe? Because Boise punted on their first possession and Fresno scored right away. Because when they're up 27-10, I'm like, this game is definitely over. Then Boise chipped away, slowly came back. Fresno at the punt, kick a field goal.
Boise tried to pull a CSU.
Totally. It's what they could do. So, people are, like we mentioned, people are upset with the standard at Colorado State. Boise was not the better team in this game. They're close. Here's the weird thing. They had more first downs, better on third down efficiency, but had 18 attempts. They outgained Fresno State. They did lose. They lost turnover margin 2-1. It literally came down to a special teams play. That's all it was.
Yeah.
So our Boise State fans are like, get rid of Andy Avalos. We want a new coaching staff. Bring in Dirk Cutter. Dirk Cutter's not coming to coach your team, guys. I saw it on Twitter. I'm like, oh, he just doesn't want to be a coordinator. I'm like, no. He's not your head coach.
He wants to retire. Just leave him in
retirement. That's why he was the analyst the year before. He's like, I'll help you guys out in a low-key role. Are they going to make a change to this team?
If they don't go to a bowl game, maybe.
What? Some people said 6-6 not good enough.
I mean, if they can beat Air Force, mm-hmm. maybe.
Maybe bowl game or maybe keep the coach.
Maybe keep the coach.
Because they're beating New Mexico and probably Utah State.
Yeah.
I mentioned Sean Lewis as a coach. Do you think that's a realistic possibility? The now demoted or whatever limited capacity of Colorado?
Well, that depends on if, we'd have to see because it depends on how much he would want to go back to G5 because
It's not the Mac, but it's not the Mac. It's different.
Yeah, but he seems that he obviously left Kent State for a reason, mm-hmm. and he took a technical demotion to potentially get a P5 job.
I bet he got paid more to be the OC of Colorado.
That's true. You're not paying much at Kent State.
Could be equal. But, I mean, could be similar.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like if he's successful, he's Brian Harsin is gone in 4 or 5 years.
Wouldn't you rather have that than cycle through another random coach who was under Chris Peterson or nearby or a former player? Kellen Moore's not coaching either. He wants an NFL head coaching job. He may not have a coaching job at the moment the way his team's coaching playing right now, the LA team he's on, but he's not coming to college. It's like people in Utah are like, oh, Brian Johnson, he'll come back. It's like, no, he's the Eagles OC, man. He's getting NFL head coaching job next year if they make the NFC championship game. He's not going to University of Utah. You're not getting the odds against those NFL guys. An NFL job, I'm not saying it's easy because it's not. May, June, part of July, you're not answering your phone 20 times a day for recruiting. You don't have to travel and do all that garbage. It's much more of a – like I know it's not – it's very difficult. They work a million hours a week. But coaching compared to player retention, recruiting, no. They're not leaving that lifestyle. They probably get paid better in NFL, better for sure, for the most part. And you're not recruiting? Gold mine, do it.
Now, like, all right, let's say they do get rid of them. Do they go back to Oregon and go get Tasha Lupoi?
Why? I don't know.
Who else are you going to get?
I had to think of a list for a minute. Dave Aranda.
I know you're going to listen to this. Put together a list.
Yeah, hold on. Dave Aranda, he's not long for Baylor. He coached Utah State. You want him back in the area?
Wait, Aranda coached Utah State?
For a year, yeah. I'm double-checking this. I can't be wrong on this, too. Hold on. No, I guarantee he was at Utah State.
I'm checking, too.
Yes, he was. 2012.
He coached Hawaii.
I'm saying. Southern Utah University. Come on. He's been around up in this area. I don't think he's a defensive coach, so it won't be splashy because Jeff Grimes in this offense at Baylor is not doing very well. And I hate – no, we'll talk Fresno in a second. We'll get them all the shine because they won the milk jug. But this is a more interesting story because Aranda, it's, like, there's a possibility he may not be around. That'd be a decent move, right? Maybe.
Maybe. They get Alex Grinch as their DC.
He got fired, Zion. If you're listening, if you're wondering, he finally got fired after that. Dude, that game was amazing to watch. It's like back and forth. It was wild. It was such a game to watch.
Yeah.
But no, You know what? Okay, you want to hear an interesting... Hold on. I got to look this up here. This is going to be... Brian Harsh is also available, FYI. Just saying.
He's not coming back.
I'm kidding. Yet. I know. I'm just saying. You know who could be an interesting move? Former West Coast LA-based head coach moved to the southeastern part of the country. Would you want Clay Helton as your head coach at Boise State? He's currently 6-2 at Georgia Southern.
I mean, like, I don't think Helton was a bad coach. I think it'd actually be a good move.
His record is I think his record's the same as what's his name, Lincoln Riley, right now in the first 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, he just got caught up in USC politics.
Yeah, and also USC can't hire they have to hire a former athlete to be your AD, which doesn't help ever. They probably stop that. But yeah. I just thinking around out loud, like, I know the connection's just nothing there. Outside of being West Coast based for a decade. Just toss names out there. I don't know what they'll do. It's disappointing. And the level of standard, it's hard to keep that up for as long as Boise State has. Like, if you look of any dominant team and winning 10-plus games, not even higher than Boise State's level, or like winning all these games they have forever, going to bowl games, going to big-time things, the only thing I can compare it to, and maybe you can tell me crazy, but what Bobby Bowden did at Florida State, however many top five finishes he had,
yeah.
The level of consistency of being 10-plus wins, ranked in the top 20, being considered one of the best teams in college football, fringe BCS team once or twice. Like, this level, it's hard to keep in Florida State. If they lose their coaches, that falls off. I get expectations of behind. I don't want to reset to go 7-5 every year or 8-4. But a lot of teams, the Air Force has done this once or twice, had low years. University of Utah, where I follow them quite heavily, they've had a couple bad years in the Pac-12 after, and they were nowhere near Boise State. I'm not comparing the two in that aspect. But teams that have good runs, there's always a dip here or there. And I don't know what the deal is with them, but we'll see. So for what we know right now, I'll ask you this, and then maybe it's not fair to ask, but at this moment in time, it is November 5th evening. Is Andy Avalos going to be the coach next year based on what they have left on this schedule?
I will give that a maybe.
A maybe? Ooh.
I will give it a maybe.
So a toss up, just about.
Yeah, I mean, if you made me pick a couple, I pick Brady Hoke and Danny Gonzalez before I picked Andy Avalos.
Ken Wilson too.
Yeah, probably.
Do you ever listen to Split Zone Duo at all? Their podcasts on college football.
I do it when you guys repost it.
Okay. They had one. I don't know if it was one on their paywall or if it was just their regular free feed. I forget because they do two. Or a couple. You have to pay a couple bucks, which you should if you do. That's pretty cool. They mentioned like they're going through coaching stuff kind of. Just kind of a generic because Stephen Gofford does really good stuff on that type of thing. Coaching search stuff.
Yes.
But he rattled off like four or five Mountain West teams. Like at the end, he's like, oh boy, look at those Mountain West teams I mentioned here. And he basically mentioned there's even a small inkling of Timmy Chang having some problems out West.
Not with the way that program was left. It's basically Norvell. You got to give him a chance. You got to give Timmy Chang a chance to put it back.
That was my thought too. He doesn't see anything intimate, but there's apparently a few people who are uncomfortable with how it's going right now. I'm like, well, when Todd Graham kills your program, everybody transfers. Give it a second.
Yeah.
So back to Fresno State here. With Tulane barely beating freaking East Carolina over the weekend, was it 13-10, I think? Very, very low scoring, close game. And that guy's 20 followers. Get out of here. Can Fresno State jump them if Tulane wins out? And they're both at one loss.
So the question then becomes, what does the committee do? Because Tulane really doesn't have the schedule that Fresno State does, because Fresno State's beat two P5 teams.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of, you know, what do they do? Because some people were talking that if it ends up being Tulane and SMU in the AAC championship, the committee would rank SMU?
Yeah, it could be.
So whoever wins that gets the bid.
I hate it if they want to give themselves an out. I think that what SMU's getting, honestly, is because they almost beat Ole Miss with their backup quarterback. That's what they're getting the boost from, mostly.
I guess we're comparing resumes at this point. So the losses are Ole Miss and Wyoming, but they don't really have a key win. I don't think Tulane has a key win on their record.
Well, I'm looking at SMU schedule, the wrong team here. I was like, wait a minute, they beat that team? Yeah, who's their best? Was it? I'm trying to look up right here. Go faster, Nick. Go faster. UAB's? No. Memphis? Fine. Rice? There's nothing overly impressive. And Fresno does have Arizona State, but they suck. And Purdue.
It's still P5.
I don't know, they're just. I know there's injury bugs. Like, I watched them play Utah and got their ass kicked 55-3. And they have so many injuries at quarterback. It's bad. It's really bad, which it doesn't help. And Purdue, what's Purdue? They're not. Are they even going to the bowl game? I know it's a Power 5 team, but it still need to come from behind to win and be the team. I guess they got 4 wins right now. If I'm lucky, I'll be pulled up here if I can get there. 2-7. They're not very good either. I don't care. It's bad teams.
Yeah, but all right, They have 2 P5 wins, but it's still 2 P5 wins. I got to pull it. You got to give me a second to pull up Tulane's schedule.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got it right here. What do you want? The UAB, Nickel State, Southern Miss, South Alabama?
Their best win might be Memphis.
Or isn't USA pretty good? They are. I forgot. I heard something.
They're 4-5.
Okay, never mind. I was thinking of something else then. But. Fresno. We want to lean that way because I think they're more explosive offensively. And Tulane's been, I don't know, man. They're fine. They have UTSA at the end of the season. You got them. That's solid. But the Americans don't what it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, their best win is Memphis.
Okay,
and Memphis is they're just having Tulane ride the wave of beating USC last year.
It could be, and Memphis isn't a bad team. They were 6-2, 7-2.
They're 7-2. Yeah,
they're a good team. They have a good quarterback. Clearly, we're not gonna they have a quarterback who's legit. Memphis, when you look at their best win, it might be a bad Boise State team, North Texas.
Yeah, I mean, so just based on their best chance at improving their resume is UTSA.
Yeah,
because Tulane's next three are Tulsa, FAU, and UTSA.
So one of the polls that Fresno ranked, one didn't. I'm gonna put good money on when the college football playoff poll comes out Tuesday. Tulane will be 22-23. Actually, I don't know because they might stay where they're at. It's 23 last week? Is that right? And Air Force was 24.
I thought Air Force was like 19.
No, in the playoff.
Oh, the CFP. Yeah, I think it was something like that.
They're 23-24, 24-25. I'm trying to remember. I could see Fresno sneak being one spot or took Air Force spot possibly, but I don't know. I'd have to look at who was ranked in that poll and how they did, but I would. I don't know. It'll be close. I think an undefeated in the Mountain West is going to pass the American. But when you're already ranked ahead of a team, it's hard to jump them without a big win. And what would Fresno's best win be the rest of the way? They can get Air Force to championship game, possibly. That would be helpful with the schedule, record-wise, at least.
I mean, they basically finished the same way UTSA does. But I'd have to look at statistic measures. But I think advanced strength of schedule and stuff. But I think just based on the resume as it stands, I think Fresno State has the better record because they barely lost to Wyoming, and if Mikey Keene hadn't gotten hurt, they probably could be undefeated.
Well, if that's the case, then why wouldn't if we think that's the case, why wouldn't they be right behind Tulane last week, the playoff bowl? I'm not trying to get you. I'm just wondering out loud.
why Fresno State wasn't ranked last week?
If it's that close as what we think it is, because I'm double checking right now what the playoff poll was. I want to see where they were. I'm trying to remember.
It was 24-25. Okay. Tulane was ahead.
Okay, maybe that's all it was. Maybe Fresno sitting there at the hypothetical 26.
They never released those, and I wish they would.
also receiving consideration.
Yeah,
I could see Tulane. I could just see. Because if we look at this really quick, even though Kansas State lost to Texas, they're probably not dropping. Are they literally going to drop out USC from the rankings?
No, but they might drop out Arizona. They might drop out UCLA.
Oh, they end up losing last week? Oh, the Arizona, yeah, 27-10 right there. There it is. Okay, okay. So, like, if we're talking, and we'll wrap up quick. This is so super early still, even with four games left. If we're looking at that poll, because they can't rank James Madison, which is also stupid. Who do you think would be the next team in?
It's Liberty.
Oh, yeah, Liberty.
Because Liberty's undefeated. Much as I hate it, Liberty's the next.
So you think Liberty's going to be over Fresno? Say it's only UCLA that drops out. Is it Liberty? I guess two Air Force will drop out too, obviously, so two teams. Could they do Tulane 23, Liberty 24, Air Force or Fresno 25?
Maybe, because, I mean, has Liberty even beaten anyone?
Bowling Green, New Mexico State, Buffalo, FIU, St. Mason State, Jacksonville State, Middle Tennessee State, Western Kentucky, Louisiana Tech. So no?
I mean, I guess New Mexico State and Jacksonville State, because they have plenty of records.
Yeah, 7-3 each.
What are they ranked? I mean, Liberty's 25 in AP.
And not ranked the other.
Not ranked in the other.
Fresno's 25th in the other.
If it wasn't for the NCAA, it should be James Madison.
It should be. Also, the reason I don't think Liberty, remember Marshall a couple years ago, they finally had to rank them when they're undefeated?
And then they lost.
Yeah, I guess we got to get them in there. So I'm going to put a bet, Fresno 25th. Do you think that's the case this week? Or are we giving the committee too much credit?
We're probably giving the committee too much credit.
So who's 25 then? You think it's Liberty because they're undefeated?
Tulane's not dropping.
No, I know they're not dropping. They may not move up.
I got to pull up the AP.
I know, that's what I'm pulling up, so I'm trying to think. Because if it's not Fresno, Fresno's right there. Liberty's an option.
Did North Carolina lose?
Let me check real quick.
No. Well, to be fair, they played Campbell.
Are they ranked at all in the playoff poll?
Not in the playoff poll.
Oh, they're not? Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, maybe North Carolina. Okay, I can see. Okay, that good point. North Carolina. Notre Dame lost. Or no, they won, excuse me.
I could see them moving Arizona up too.
Arizona won, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Because Arizona's ranked in both.
Toledo's getting their votes. They're not going to be ranked Toledo.
The difference between the rankings and Notre Dame is – oh, well, to be fair, Notre Dame lost to Clemson.
So it doesn't matter, yeah.
Yeah.
And Clemson's still not receiving votes after this week, right? Yeah. No, they got a couple votes in. They got one vote in the other poll in the coaches – no, excuse me, AP poll. So I don't know. I need to be more cynical. Fresno State's not ranked. It's going to be Arizona. I'll go with them.
I say Arizona or North Carolina.
Yeah, those are the two options. So, all right, that wraps up for this week and our weekly playoff poll talk. Which just gotta catch Tulane. That's all it is, man. Get past this green wave. Do I need to not wear my Tulane hoodie I have from home field until this happens? Because I have a Tulane hoodie. Should I have not mentioned that either on the air?
Just reverse curse it.
All right, I will wear. Oh, okay, good point. All right, we'll go that route then. Wear it every day and never wash it. That's what I'll do as a grown man. No, not gonna happen. All right, so we'll see. We'll be back next time. Wrap up with that lame joke there. But go to mwire.com to check all of our other stuff. We have written things going on throughout the weeks, and we'll be back later to get through week 11. And no coaches will be fired until we're back. I will guarantee it. But we'll keep talking a little bit about this, right, until it comes up and happens.
It probably won't happen until the end of the year, yeah.
Exactly. All right, so we'll see you next time, folks.